Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. Hey, I just want to start by reiterating the small groups here. This is a new ministry that we're going to be starting here. So if you're looking for connection, or if you're new to Christianity and want a place where you can ask questions, this would be a great thing for you. So the information night is just for you to just check it out to see what small groups is about. So if you're interested, please come. There's a sign-up sheet at the welcome desk, so please put your name there so I know how many to expect. And even if you're not interested and just want to see what it's about, we would love to see you there. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. This morning we are skipping ahead to 1 Timothy 4. We'll be back at 1 Timothy 3 next week. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. This is God's word. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would give us eyes to see and hearts to understand, and that you would speak through me this morning, and that you and you alone would meet the need of every person here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just out of curiosity, how many of you would have the tradition where at your Thanksgiving meal, you would go around and say your thankfuls? I know that my family definitely does this, and I've noticed that when you do your thankfuls, there's kind of two things that I find about thankfuls. The first is the things that are easy to be thankful for, that they just kind of necessarily move to a thankful. So like my family, our place, being in Brooks here, being in this church, like there's so many things that they kind of just necessitate thankfulness. And it's easy to be thankful for. And while these things are easy and it's good to have those thankfuls, there's also the thankfuls that are hard, the ones that took time for us to be thankful for. So some examples in my life is our car. Our car seems like it's going to the repair shop every week. And it's super annoying. And I just like, man, like, is this thing going to get fixed? And I just find myself ungrateful for it, but I'm thankful that we have this car. I'm thankful that we have the necessary means. And another thing that has been a little bit difficult is in this season, Emily and I have been going through pregnancy, and it's this great blessing, but no one really told us how hard some of the things would be and some of the things we would go through. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when we go through these hard things together, Emily and I grow to love each other more, and we grow to know God more, and I'm thankful for that. And health is another thing. It seems like every year there's just this random injury that comes out of nowhere when I didn't expect it, and it's just like super annoying, or like getting sick is like something inconvenient to me, but I'm thankful when I get sick because it slows me down. It reminds me that I'm not God. I need help. I need God. So in these two lists of thankfuls, or these two ways of thinking of thankfuls, there's those ones that they're easy to be thankful for. It just necessarily goes to, yes, I'm thankful for that because it's just such a blessing. But then there's the hard thankfuls. The ones that you really had to work for. And if we're honest, these are the thankfuls that mean the most to us. The thankfuls that we had to work through. And this morning, I believe Paul has a good word for all of us on Thanksgiving. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. But Paul begins with the context of this. He says that in the latter times, people will depart from the faith. But what are these latter days? And latter days refers to the in-between when Jesus arrived and when he is coming again. And it's easy to speculate really what that means, but to understand the latter days, you need to know what came before it and what it is all about. And directly before this passage is its explanation in chapter 3. And this has kind of been the signpost of what we've been doing this sermon series through. And it's the reason that Paul wrote the letter. He says, "I am writing these things so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth." And the truth, I want to say, is what he goes to say directly after. The truth of the mystery of godliness, the gospel about Jesus. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. This verse is this beautiful poem of the gospel, of something divine, outer-worldly, something of God. And Paul is using these verses as a purpose statement to say, now, in connection with the gospel, in the connection with what Jesus did, who he is, in the latter times, some people are going to depart from the faith, from believing the truth of the gospel, believing who Jesus is. So Paul informs Timothy, his church, and us, this battle that we face on earth. And he confronts the apostasy he sees in the church, just like he warned in chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. "As I urged you when I was in Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation, rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith." The myths and the endless genealogies promote this speculation rather than solidifying what is true, what is real. In the same way, the deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons, they polarize what is truth and they take away what God says and puts a spin on it. Sort of like what Brady was talking about, how the devil just twists what God says. Now, the teaching of demons and deceitful spirits kind of sounds foreign, or it's like a little bit extreme, but it's actually not as crazy as we may think. It's taking those little things and putting a spin on it. And we tend to think, okay, when we think of the teaching of demons and things like that, it is way right field, like it is way out there. But it works little by little. It's the little things that direct a path somewhere else. And Paul explains how it manifests with this example. He says, "Who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created." So they take what God created and they put that spin and think it will be better. Now hear me out here, because this is insanely countercultural. But that's a problem. We take what God has created, something that is good, and then we think, oh, I think I could do something better. I think my plan might be better than what God has. But Paul, he goes back to the truth of Genesis. And last week, John talked about in worshiping as men and worshiping as women and worshiping together, how Paul points back to Genesis, the original design. And Paul does that again. He continually anchors himself in the truth, in certainty. And the creation account is how we're designed to be. The truth about creation is that it was designed by God. Creation was designed for food to be enjoyed responsibly and designed for man to be in relationship. And the problem, and I love this, that happens in the first page of Scripture, chapter 3, is this talking snake changes it for them, changes it for humanity. And it's through a deceitful serpent and the teaching of a demon. Listen to how all of creation in our Bibles has its fall. In Genesis 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat the tree in the garden?'" That's it. That's all it took. It was just this one little question, that little veering off the path. But it's not like this is like a mystical fruit that they ate and it just ruined it for all of us and now we're just trying to make up for it. All Adam and Eve did was denied God. They were not obedient to him. When you do not consult God or you question what his design is, you're doing what the teaching demon says in Genesis 3. Did God actually say that? Paul is purposely going back to the beginning to state how it was before things changed. And Jesus does the same thing. He's questioned by a Pharisee in Matthew 19. And his response to the Pharisee is, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" Sin is the problem. And separation from God's design is a detriment. As soon as we take matters into our own hands and question God, we're saying, "Did God actually say that?" But the real question we need to ask is, what is truth? What is true? The gospel of Jesus is truth. God is truth. I found in our culture, there's this trend right now of your truth, my truth. And really, I think this is kind of like a stretch of what we've already experienced in our lives of, okay, this is true to me because it gave me comfort that last time, so I'm just going to think this is what is going to ground my life. But the issue with that is that it's going to change. Truth shouldn't change. The gospel of Jesus doesn't. It's been the same for thousands of years, and it's truth. When you stand on that truth, it doesn't move. Why would you want to have this next truth that, you know, maybe it'll get you what you want for a bit, but then leave you empty again? Paul references back to God's design for creation to say it's good and it's his ongoing plan. But deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons are contrary and they're tempting, but they're deceitful and false. They cannot measure up to the truth of the gospel. You can't base your life on something that pulls you away from God. It's his design that he wants us to receive and do. He wants us to receive with thanksgiving what he has, because that is the truth. And we have a tough time with doing things God's way. And that's kind of what leads us away from him. And it's that sort of thing, when we twist it or find it twisted, that makes it hard to read this passage. Everything created by God is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. So what if things aren't good? What if my marriage isn't good? What if my finances aren't good? What if my health is not good? Did God create that? I think what Paul is saying here is for us to look at it differently, to look at what the overarching thing of God's design. And it's eternal. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than the situation. When we fix our eyes on him, it changes things. And today, that's the invitation Paul is placing before us, to receive what God created for you. To base your life on something that's been true for thousands of years. To bring your life to a place where God wants you to be good. If God is good, if he created everything, then he can also recreate. He can also continue to work in our lives. So listen, with that in mind, listen again to what this passage says. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. So what is good? What can we be thankful for? First, Paul says, what is created by God? Anything that deceives us or is just that little bit of a degree off is probably not going to be something that leads us to God. When you know the truth will set you free. Paul also said, what is made holy? And now what he explains as holy is through the word of God and prayer. And the word of God is his scripture. It's God's word. So when Paul goes back to creation over and over again, or when he quotes scripture, he does so because it is sacred. It is holy. It doesn't change. It's different than other things. And so when he says it is made holy, he's saying so with God's perspective, with his eyes on who God is. And the word for prayer, so in 1 Timothy 2, when we went through that, John was talking about the different words for prayer and how they all emphasized on praying in different ways. And the word here, I was kind of wrestling with, like, should I pay attention to how it's translated or what this word means? And I think that it's important for how we understand being thankful and receiving the word of God in prayer. And this word means intercession. So intercession is saying on behalf of someone else. But this word is also connected with the word of God. So it's praying, it's interceding on behalf of God. It's sort of like what we do when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. His reality spoken onto ours. It is made holy through the word of God and prayer. It is changed when we bring God's reality onto ours. But let me tell you, that is hard. But in the middle of it, Paul instructs that everything God created is good. And nothing can be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. You see, our issue is often just a failure to receive. Sometimes we would way rather prefer to just take, to just not wait for it and just do it on our own. But what we really need is the truth. We need the gospel. We need God's perspective. And when we think of being thankful, receiving with thanksgiving, I said at the beginning about the two ways of being thankful. To receive with thanksgiving the hard things, it will probably mean changing your perspective. So when you're at the dinner table tonight and you do your round of thankfuls, I wonder what it would mean to maybe just throw in something that you're really thankful for, like you really worked at it, that God just changed your perspective and changed the way you see everything, and you thank God that he has done this for you. This morning, if this is new to you, God lays this invitation before all of us. If God is good, if he has created you and wants to be in relationship with you, would you come to him? Would you come to him again, even when you mess up? God invites us to receive him with thanksgiving through the word of God and prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we admit that sometimes we are not thankful, and sometimes our view is skewed, and we are questioning things, and we ask if you really said that, but we pray that you would change our perspectives to ask what is true, what is good, and would you do that for all of us today in whatever place we're at, Lord, just would you meet us, would you change our hearts and our minds to love and to serve you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for that message. Shall we stand together as we sing our final song? Mm-hmm.